Hello, everybody. This is the host of Polititeen, Damian Galvin. Before starting this episode, I wanted to let you guys know that we did have some audio difficulties. Regardless, the interview is very good, and I highly recommend listening to it. It's just something that happens in the world of podcasting. For the next episode, the audio will be back to normal and even better than ever. Thank you. Enjoy listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to an episode of the Polititeen podcast. My name is Damian Galvin, and today I'm very excited for the episode that we're bringing you. We're having a former guest and friend of the show, Commissioner Ted Terry. Commissioner, how have you been?
Doing great, Damon. Glad to be back on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got cut off mid-conversation. We were trying to film this episode a little bit previously. But you were telling me about the position that you now have. Last time we talked, it was November 3rd, 2020. I think you had won your primary, so you were getting ready to come into this position. What's the role been like now that you're in it?
It's been amazing. Of course, you know, I was the mayor before this, and so I'm no stranger to local government. And the only difference now is going from a town of 13,000 people in one square mile to a county with 750,000 plus people. And I wake up every day, check my email, and in my inbox is a list of all of the complaints, problems, challenges in our society. And I roll up my sleeves and try to get to work to address those.
What would you say has been like the biggest transition point, or what was the thing that you saw like caught you the most off guard when you were coming from being mayor to being commissioner now?
Well, there's a kind of a joke in the circles of municipalities that the enemy is the county, and so I went to go work for the enemy, and that's just a fun joke. It's not for real, but you know the county basically is just a larger organization, and most states have counties and have municipalities within those counties, and so generally speaking, when I was mayor, I was dealing with a lot of the same things that I am doing now as commissioner, except now we have countywide services such as fire, EMS, 911, the jail, the court systems, the mental health safety nets, the animal shelter. And so they're just countywide services where, you know, basically the city wasn't in charge of it. It was a function of this larger organization known as the county.
Yeah, it's I can imagine how the occupation is going to stay relatively the same, but definitely working at that county level and working at DeKalb County, I can imagine, especially with everything that's been going on. It's something that I want to talk about a little bit later with Cop City. It's definitely been a lot on your plate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say that I'm fortunate in that DeKalb County commissioners are considered a full-time position. They pay us a living wage and they give us a budget and staff. And so, my district, of course, is half of the county. So I've got 370,000 plus people. And it goes from the very north of the county all the way down to the south, representing and all the way over to Clarkston. Where, of course, I used to, be a mayor. And so it represents really the diversity of the county in all ways, whether it's racial demographics or foreign-born and native-born. And, of course, DeKalb County is the second most diverse county in Georgia. 17% of our population is considered immigrant or foreign-born. And so it's a challenge, but DeKalb is a wonderful place. There's amazing people here. We've got our challenges, but we've got, I think, all the things that we need to make this place a world-class community.
Yeah, and speaking of these challenges, what would you say right now you would say is your most pressing matter as DeKalb County Commissioner?
Well, right at this very moment that we're speaking, we're having an animal shelter crisis on top of a mental health crisis. And so something that we've actually put on the ballot next Tuesday is our sales tax referendum renewal. It's called the SPLOST, and we've invested $7.5 million for an animal shelter expansion, as well as $15 million for a new mental health crisis center. And it just so happens that both the of these shelter systems, these crisis centers, whether it's rescuing animals that are abandoned and or have to be or found strays, have to be rehomed, or individuals who are having a mental health crisis. And our goal in DeKalb County is to not send people to jail when they're having a crisis, but to give them treatments. And so we have had tremendous capacity constraints in our crisis centers for mental health, as well as the animal shelter. And so I'm excited that hopefully this referendum passes next Tuesday, and we'll have invested some of the largest amount of money we've ever invested in the shelter services and the crisis centers in DeKalb County's history.
Yeah, no, that's definitely awesome. And it's one of those things that I think doesn't get enough recognition during the right times globally. You know, we just had the incident with Maine, but mental health crisis is something that people are, dealing with every single day. And there's so many things going on in the world that it often, I think, gets overlooked, and we forget, at the root how much of this is affecting people day to day.
Absolutely. And the nature of the, just talking about Maine and access to guns, we live in Georgia, and Georgia just has all of the preemption laws. And so we can't pass any local legislation when it comes to gun regulation or safe gun storage or yellow or red flag laws. And so the investment that we're making in our mental health crisis center is designed to not just treat the immediate crisis, but to keep people on track and are on a road to recovery. And that's something that, generally speaking, we can look at, whether it's mass shootings or, police, killings because of instances where, whether it's too easy access to guns, not good gun safe, storage, but also just providing that ongoing treatment and getting people the help that they need. So this is where we're left at, unfortunately, Damon. We have to, as a community in DeKalb, knowing we can't regulate assault weapons, we have to invest in the mental health safety nets, even more so, to try to prevent some of these instances and help our really less fortunate, because the reality is we've got almost 10,000 individuals who don't have health insurance in DeKalb County who also are in the mental health system. This is designed to be a safety net system. And so 10,000 people who are getting treatment on a regular basis don't have health insurance, but any one of them can have a crisis. And that crisis center right now that we have only has capacity for 32 beds. And it is generally almost always full. And it's a real problem, but I'm glad that we're working on it. We need all the help we can get. So I'm hoping we can get some changes in state and federal, politics, because that's the help that we need.
Yeah, absolutely. What would be one of those changes that you want to see both on the state and federal politics that you think could help this mission the most?
Well, it's very straightforward. I mean, we look at any other modern, economy and country in the world that has either had a mass shooting in recent years or has banned assault weapons and regulated guns. And, we don't have to ban all guns, but if we create a simple and common sense regulatory framework for individuals who seek guns, especially assault weapons, and certainly handguns, we can reduce gun deaths. Simple as that. And one of the things that we are working on at the legislature right now is we're trying to promote safe gun storage, because one of the problems we're finding is that in an era of more access to guns, law-abiding citizens and those who are worried about their safety are buying more guns or buying guns for the first time. And so what ends up happening, Damon, is every month, every couple of months, we learn about a child that gets access to a gun and they either kill themselves, they hurt themselves, or they kill their parents in these just horrific accidents where a gun is under the seat of a car, or it's in a dresser drawer. And it's not secured in a gun safe or with a gun lock. And so we're trying to get the legislature to allow us to enact common sense safe gun storage so we can at least protect our children from getting access to guns. And then on top of that, you know, one of the leading causes or the leading sort of reasons for car break-ins is that folks are, you know, criminals are trying to find guns in cars. And so we tell people, you know, don't leave them in your glove compartment, but if you're going to leave them in your car, have it in a gun safe because that will prevent a criminal from getting access to it. And of course, if a criminal gets access to your gun, they're going to use it in a crime. And so it just perpetuates more guns on the street, more gun violence, and then more people say, I got to get my own gun because I need to protect myself out there.
And it kind of creates this just cycle of more and more guns being introduced into the population. And, you know, before I guess we hop into a little bit more of a controversial topic, something that we can discuss is kind of on the same line, but, you know, I think it's important to address first. Manuel Paez de Ran. I went to a vigil for him in D.C., Tortuguita. And it was very emotional. This was about a year ago. For those of you that do not know, Tortuguita was a passionate activist for the environment, and he was opposing Cop City. He was part of the Stop Cop City movement, and he was fatally shot by police. Can you talk a little bit about the situation, maybe regards in ways that you've been involved or just what you've seen being closer? Obviously, I wasn't fortunate enough to be part of these protests, or unfortunate enough in this circumstance. But could you talk about this with us for a little bit?
Absolutely. I mean, it really was a preventable tragedy. And whether you go back to the very beginning almost 3 years ago, where the former mayor of Atlanta had announced this new police training center, all to the residents and to the political leaders in DeKalb's surprise, because they, as city officials, had basically decided they were going to do this, and then they told us they were going to do it. And so for nearly 2 years, we really pushed back as a community to say, well, before you do this, we have to do the right community engagement and environmental review. And despite those efforts, they bulldozed forward. And so there's several lawsuits going right now to try to stop Cop City based on the environmental issues, because this location is in the South River Forest area. It sits along the Entrenchment Creek watershed that is upstream from the South River watershed, which is one of the most endangered and polluted river sheds in America right now, because of a whole host of environmental issues. And so our argument has been that